Welcome to Hey Jeff, a podcast about Survivor for only 3 more weeks.
They're dwindling. The numbers are dwindling.
Yeah, much like the numbers on this podcast when we talk about Survivor.
That's okay. I do think at the top of the podcast / live stream, speaking of dwindling numbers, we don't have anyone watching at the moment, but I really want to say shame on anyone who didn't watch this live stream, because you're missing seeing Brett in full Ren Faire regalia. He walked in on camera and I said, wow, Shrek core.
Okay, I literally had to give away the vest that I bought because I'm wearing the viewers on the YouTube. I'm wearing kind of like an olive green shirt with a black vest. And I originally bought a brown vest and I put it on and I'm like, I look literally like Shrek right now.
You still look like Shrek because of the green. The green is what makes the green is
cool.
Like,
I got black pants on. So it's like, it's kind of like a cool guy thing. And I called up my friend. I'm like, do you want a free vest? That was like $20 on Amazon.
And he said, I don't.
No, he wants to look like Shrek. Shrek is in.
Shrek is beloved by the masses. It's so a good look.
We are taping an hour early today because I am going to a Ren Faire. I wasn't in Ren Faire regalia to go see Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. I'm actually going to a Ren Faire.
So wait, did you see Planet of the Apes?
I'm going tomorrow, but I'm not going to be dressing in a Ren Faire. Sorry, that was confusing. I apologize.
I think you could really push the look from Shrekville over to Robin Hood land if you got one of those hats with a feather in it.
So, yeah, the hat situation, we'll talk about Survivor, not that anyone cares. The hat situation was fraught because I spent a long time looking at our nation's top Halloween wear warehouse, Amazon.com. The hat situation wasn't great. So it's May. It's summer in LA. It's going to be hot today. Apparently, the friends who have been before told me it's not really shaded sort of place. You need a hat for protection. But all the hats, they're felt, they're wool. They don't even have a bill or anything to protect the front of your face from the sun. It's like this big poofy thing, like you're a chef. Or like, I don't know if people wore those hats back then. Because what I'm doing, I'm wearing a normal human American baseball hat.
Dodgers hat with your basically.
I am also going to a baseball game later today too. I'm going to be.
He's got a booked and busy social calendar, people.
If you want to call the police on me, I am going to be changing from Renaissance wear to normal baseball wear in a parking lot somewhere today.
He's a man of many wares.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just doing that. Also, my pants, these pants, they don't have pockets. They don't have pockets. Where am I going to put my wallet? Where am I going to put it? They absolutely needed them back then for their phones. I'm also going to just have a fanny pack. I might do it like Chewbacca style, like the sash, like cool people do. But listen.
Why don't you get a little brindle and stick?
Like a hobo?
No, like a Ren. Is that that's what they would use as handbags?
A bindle stick is very is very like
the connotation dust bowl. Now is very hobo, but it's not.
Yeah, you're right, because you know what? In the animation of the opening of Robin Hood, the most accurate, most period accurate Renaissance film with the fox, and there's the hen. And he's got a little bindle stick, right? He's got the bindle stick and he's got a little lute and he's walking.
Isn't it just Robin Hood in disguise? He's wearing like a cape, a muumuu.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
That's him in disguise.
No, anyway. With the hen. Or is he just playing a lute?
Friar Tuck?
No, the guy who's singing the song. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest.
Yeah, Little John.
No, Little John's a bear. His friend.
Who's Friar Tuck?
A guy.
And the king is a tiger, but he's like John?
He's like
king
a lion,
John?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
All right.
He's a cowardly lion.
He is.
Stealing IP.
Well, speaking of things we love. Robin Hood, Renaissance Fairs, and Survivor. I was very concerned about this week's Survivor because I went, because I watched it a day after it airs, and sure. I like to go look in our Discord. There's a Survivor channel, a channel dedicated solely to Survivor. Usually there's like a little back and forth, little spoiler comments, and I like to go read those. There was nothing.
You nada. Love to be spoiled.
I love it. I have no issue with spoilers. I just think it doesn't take anything away from me, from my viewing enjoyment.
Yeah, but I mean, and as I remarked to you, I think we were due a disappointment week. Like the show has been really good.
I felt good.
I mean, I think we're all disappointed by the outcome.
You know what? I'm sorry. I think it was her time. I think it was Venus's time.
Yeah,
there's only so many weeks that she can go pissing people off, not really doing anything, not winning anything, having no friends.
Finally,
being amusing, sure, but like now Liz has overcome her as the most amusing person there. So
finally, getting an idol and being so obvious about it, God. Even though and despite no one figuring it out, like I have plans.
It's the theme of the season. She had it. She didn't use it. She was too confident. Hubris. Hubris is the theme of the season.
That's why we liked Venus, queen of hubris. That's why we liked her. Listen, this was episode 11. Episode 12 is next week. Episode 13 is the finale. It's going to be eight
That's
hours
how numbers
long.
Work.
There's still going to be there's going to be 19 people still left on the cast. We'll somehow get to three and then to one. I thought we were moving to the Maria thing. I thought we were moving to Q, and then it just became clear. Like, oh my God. Like,
I would have loved if Maria went. Oh, it would have been
but
great.
But she won. Like, what I thought was interesting today was this was the Charlie winner edit episode. It wasn't even about Venus going home. It was about like Charlie effectively playing both sides.
Yeah.
Making a decision. I mean, but also look at the results of the vote. You thought it was going to be like a 3-3 thing and Charlie was going to be the deciding factor. Kenzie, Liz voted for Venus as well. So at some point it became clear that Venus was the consensus and that it wasn't going to be the Kenzie, Liz, Venus group versus the Ben Q Maria group, and Charlie was in the middle. Interestingly enough, Ben votes for Kenzie for some reason.
Wasn't that like so that there would be? I think there was a reason for that. It was like it was a strategic reason. He hates Kenzie now, even though she's helped him with his anxiety.
Anytime Ben does anything, I'm like, you're still here, bro? Cool.
I love it because it's exclusively, he says stuff like, she's a poser. She does not rock. Like, it's so good. Oh, it's like he was transported from like Reality Bites and for some reason in Survivor. It's so good.
Yeah, he's really boring to me. Like, you would think he would be like a personality ad. He'd be the personality hire. Like, all right, he doesn't do much on the show, but at least he's like funny and cool. But he's not. He doesn't even.
I think
they don't
he's
give him
meant
any screen
to be,
time.
But I think they didn't anticipate Aunt Liz being so amusing.
Liz is gold. Yeah,
like even Maria's not she's fine, right? Like, she's fine, but she is. This episode, she proved that she can put some amusing things into action. With her winning reward and immunity, we got another situation where she could bring people along to eat the pizza, have a pizza party on the island.
Yes.
She chooses first. Who does she choose? Ben first, right?
She chooses Ben.
Yeah.
Ben cries.
And then Jeff.
Ben sobs. And then Liz adds as a reason to take her, I haven't pooped in 3 weeks.
Yeah, she got to bring it up. And then what's her name? Maria is like, the rest of you, give me your reasons. Venus is like, fuck you. That's my reason. I'm not begging.
Great. Yeah. Not to you.
Hubris. Hubris. I don't, like, you are lucky to be in my presence. I would never do what you have to do. I don't care. Kenzie also doesn't really care. And then we get to Q and Liz. Liz, who hasn't pooped in 3 weeks, can't eat anything, has allergies to a lot of stuff, which she is now making great therapeutic strides in realizing perhaps the reason she can't eat anything is it's the physical manifestation of so much anxiety. There's so many, like, she's psychoanalyzing herself while she's on the island.
That was a good moment, yeah.
I'm sure she has a lot of time to do that. They have time to do that. But so, Maria, instead of just being a freaking Chad, is like a total coward. And is like, you guys have to play rock, paper, scissors. And I do love, this was a moment I loved. So Q is like, yeah, sure. Liz immediately is like, don't pick rock or something. She said something immediately where I was like, oh, she's immediately give it to me. And then she loses rock, paper, scissors. And Maria brings Q. And they're all pissed off. This pisses everyone off. Everyone is mad about this because Q literally just ate. He ate last night.
He said, he's like, I've eaten so much. I just ate 23 slices of pizza and I don't feel bad about it at all. Q is like, you could see the light. Q is like Popeye with the spinach. Like, Q was so low a few weeks ago. Like, whether or not he actually was trying to quit, I don't know. I think that's just part of his strategy. I don't think he ever was trying to quit any of the 8 times he's done that this season. But, like, Q physically has, like, a glow to him and a life to him that no one else has because this man has, like, eaten at Applebee's and then ate 3 whole pizzas back to back. He's eaten like 7,000 calories in the last 2 days. He's like,
he's eaten better on the island than he does at home. Probably. It's also free. It's free. So you might as well have more.
Or if you win $1 million, they're paying you for it.
Exactly. I just loved it. I mean, that's why I'm kind of grateful to Maria, even though I was really hoping, it really seemed so solid to me. I was like, oh, wow, this might finally be the time that they get out Q. But
everyone here is a cockroach. Everyone on this season is an absolute cockroach. Like, I don't know. I mean, they will get rid of everyone. There's only going to be one person left. But, like, every single person is like, how do you get rid of this? How do you get rid of Q? This guy just hangs around. How do you get rid of Liz? She's just hanging around. She's napping. She's crying. She's not pooping. Kenzie, she's there. She's
that's why they're keeping her around.
Case. Yeah, like,
she doesn't stink up the island.
All that poop.
You know what I want to get rid of? Jeff thinking it's so great to bring his little snacks. Okay. It worked once. Why are we bringing the licorice?
Come on. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Ooh.
What's next? Milk duds? I mean, enough. Enough already.
Got the title for this episode. Licorice pizza.
Also, we love to talk about the interstitials of Jeff demanding that we apply to be on Survivor.
Was there one this week? Maybe there was one. Okay.
He was walking through the forest and he walked past one of the like Survivor signs or like camp signs.
Yeah.
And he was like, Survivor. And he slapped the sign. he hit it. He gave it a slap and he said, don't you want to be on it? Or something like that. I just couldn't help but notice like the fervor with which he slapped that sign.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot.
I want to go back to the reward challenge and they got back and you could cut tension with like a pretty dull knife, like a Renaissance knife. And I can't remember this. And this like basically bled all the way into tribal, basically like Maria sucks. What a farce she did. She picked, first of all, she also didn't pick Q. Q won a game of rock, paper, scissors, which is fine, which is great. But everyone's like, she gave all of this pizza to Q. She could have just picked Liz. Yeah. She could have just picked
Nina. I mean, it's true. She's a coward. That was a cowardly thing to do.
I don't remember much, but I don't remember a time where the results of reward challenges have been so important on the politics, like the inner politics of a game. Like,
yeah.
Maybe we've just been
We've been robbed.
We've been robbed. We've been like, it's just been absent because the last few seasons have been very, very like lovey-dovey. We're all like, oh, you just voted
me out.
Same on
Big Brother.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so honored and blessed to have been voted out. You're all my best friends.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that. And now it's like, you had a slice of pizza. Fuck you for picking you for doing that.
That's what we
you
want.
Took someone
that's
else to want. Applebee's. I'm going to off myself on television right now. Yeah. Like, you know, it's crazy.
It's the same on Big Brother. Like, we see it with have-nots. It's like everyone volunteers. This takes out, this put just pokes a hole in the balloon and lets the air out of the whole premise. So it's just fun to see people really care. I mean, are they hungrier than usual or what? I guess Liz is. But they are truly mad.
There needs to be, like when Big Brother comes back, there needs to be some sort of like actual game punishment that is tied to
or give them a reward they actually like, want.
Yeah, where it's like you actually have to give it out strategically and the have not and like the eating part of it is part of the punishment. And it's like, no, you need to give this to people who you don't like and people who you want to perform worse in the game. Not people who it's like, oh, it's my turn to eat oatmeal for a week.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm trying to think, like, what do people on Big Brother really want? Like, what could Big Brother tease them with? And it's like 200,000 followers on social media. Like, brand deals.
Well, no, what if there's like, I don't know, what if there's like an extra vote mechanic or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah,
and like, if you're a have not, you can't, like, maybe there's like, on Thursday, there's like a wheel spin or something. There's like some bonus thing where like the winner of it gets an extra vote or something like that. That's beneficial in the game, but you're not eligible if you're a have not that week.
Yeah. I like it. It can
so
work. It's like,
so you have to pick the have not strategically.
Yes. That's what we're lacking. We're lacking more strategy. How did you feel about,
I have a stupid
about
question.
Venus. Venus is too. I thought she had a great dude as she left. I thought everyone this season has been like a really good loser, except for Hunter. And I just like
Hunter's like I could have been a neurosurgeon by now. I have to go back to Mississippi.
I've enjoyed it. I also like that. This I don't know. Does it not feel? Maybe this was a discussion in the Discord. Does it not feel like the losers? The jury have gotten like zero screen time, which I'm also
they're
fine
all
with.
Boring. They're all boring.
I like it.
Sing us a song, Tevin. Oh wait, the jury. I don't know. Like,
I like it.
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah. Well, now that Venus is there, Venus will be great. Yeah, Venus will be great in the jury. She'll ask some mean questions. Yeah, she was great. I mean, like, Venus is glamorous person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's smart. She's beautiful. She's got a fucking attitude. Like,
yeah, she's got it all.
Yeah. So yeah, whatever she does, I'm a fan. Bring her back. Put her on Big Brother. I don't care. She was great television.
Let's keep on Survivor, I guess, for now. You have more, I'm sure.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's Survivor. It uses Survivor as a jumping off point, but it goes back to Jeff. I have a question. This is embarrassing. What is licorice?
Oh, licorice can be many flavors, but it's usually made out of like wax.
So we're eating wax?
Yeah, it's like a wax-like substance, you know, but it's edible.
Obviously, barely. Do you eat licorice? Do you go to the movies? Are you like Jeff bringing a box of red vines and sitting down?
Well, watching, what are nerds made out of?
Watching Force Majeure with some licorice.
What's
I thought that was just sugar. I thought that was just pure sugar that's been like
farted. Well, that's what licorice is too, but they add just like a binding substance to it.
Oh, great. Wax.
I don't know if it's actually wax, but it seems waxy, doesn't it? What are gushers? What are gushers made out of?
Pure sugar.
Yeah.
Pure corn syrup.
Pure imagination.
Yeah.
Come with me and you'll be. Wonka. Willy Wonka's got the recipe. Why don't we ask Timmy Chalamet? I don't know what's in licorice.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. But you know what I do love? It's like hot. It's a red hot trend to love this stuff. I see it all over social. the sour Swedish candies. There's a store.
A sour fish?
No, sour fish aren't even sour enough. It has to be even more sour than that. But like those sour, there's like a bunch of different kinds. There's a store in New York in the West Village that has them. Oh, and you buy them by the pound. They're so good. Oh, sour. Great. I love sour. Sour is my favorite flavor profile.
I'm getting better with sour. I'm getting better. Like I've the last year or so, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I love salty. I'm like just to eat like a bag of pretzels. Give me that.
Amish pretzels.
I don't know. I'll report next week what the snack situation was like at the Ren Fair.
Oh, maybe it's going to be chicken wings. Well, big turkey legs.
Well, that's not a snack. That's a meal. That's pure protein. That's if you're going to go run a marathon.
You're going to get a big mug of frothy beer.
Kettle corn?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mead.
What else? Mead. Yeah. Mead. Yeah.
Mead. Okay.
What do they eat for dessert at the Ren Fair? Ice cream. Gelato.
Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dots, which were invented in 1997.
I love Dippin' Dots.
No, you don't. No, yes, you don't. No one likes Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dots, I went to a baseball game earlier this week. Wow, I'm going again. They have the Dippin' Dots guy. He's got the bag in front of him. And he's selling. Yeah. He's just slinging Dippin' Dots, walking up and down the aisles. No one buys them. No one likes them. That's everyone had Dippin' Dots once when they first came out in 1997. And everyone was like, you know what? I think I want less surface area on my ice cream.
It's a party in your mouth. It's like very unique. Cold and you can styrofoam. Only do it. You can only do it at like Canada's Wonderland, a baseball game.
A mall.
And that's it.
Malls have
Dippin' Dots. They don't even have it at Disney probably.
Disney, I'm sure, has their own branded ice cream. No, because Disney's about making children feel, and adults, everyone, from cradle to the grave, feel like they're having the most magical experience of your life. And I wouldn't wish Dippin' Dots on my enemy. Like, oh, how's Disneyland? It was great. Went on a Ferris wheel. It was shaped like Mickey. Went under the sea with Sebastian. Rode on a crazy wacky elevator with my friends, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Then I had some Dippin' Dots. Like, no, Dippin' Dots not. It's like just takes you out of it. You're like, I'm in Anaheim right now. I'm like right next to a freeway.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, on the food note, to bring it back to Survivor, I do want to mention, because it is part of our what we're interested in on this podcast, the pizza itself looked like a cracker. It was shockingly thin crust, I would say. I expected it to be like a Pizza Hut-esque, regular thickness crust, but it was like very thin.
I'm sure it's fine. You know what it was? It looks like hotel pizza, where you're like...
Yes.
I remember they addressed this because they've been doing pizza on every season. And I think in one of the reunion recap shows, Jeff said, where do we get the pizza from? It's Kevin's pizza. Kevin has a stone oven. And it's like, who's Kevin? It's like,
Kevin's pizza.
He makes it. They got to get, like, if they want to increase like the revenue here, you got to get the Domino's sponsorship. You got to get the Pizza Hut sponsorship. You got to get Papa J's, Little Caesars. They got money to spend.
You know what else? Sorry. Sorry. But you know what else is so back when it comes to food?
What?
Caesar salad.
Caesar salad never left, baby.
It left. It was out. It was out. It was Danielle, so out. You
it's
ordered
so good.
A Caesar salad in a restaurant, like, people would be like, I was this loser. But now
it's like a breadstick in a salad.
I got a Caesar salad last night at a restaurant and I said, this is crunchy. It's flavorful. It's thick. I mean, it is a thick salad. You have a Caesar salad for a starter. You don't have much room left for your main.
I had a Caesar salad for lunch yesterday. It was great.
Delish. You got a little chicken in there. We had a little bit of a discussion in the Discord that I'm going to bring onto the podcast as well, which is like, do you agree or disagree at the finale, we should do away with the live finales. We should, well, not live, but like right after
the
vote.
No, we should come back to the live studio finale.
Live studio finales, exactly. It's like the past couple of seasons since COVID, it's been like immediately after the vote, it's like, let's go into reunion show. And everyone's there and they bring out Kevin's pizzas, which everyone is starving for, and they pop the champagne. And it's sort of... you can't get a lot of depth. And what I said in the Discord is I totally agree. I think we should go back to the studio where everyone is cleaned up and hot and fed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everyone has allowed the resentment to trickle
in. I want to see what Liz looks like when there's like a possibility she's going to meet a man later today, like later that day. She's going to go out to like a party in Hollywood later that night. You know, like... I want to see what Liz looks like when she's looking for the new stepfather of her child.
I also want to bring up this
new Applebee's date.
At one point in this episode, Kenzie was wearing glasses, but she often is not wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Are they able to bring contact lenses? I suppose they must.
But
how do you wash your hands to put them in?
Yeah. Do they give you a little station? A station? Do they let you like put in like wash your hands and then put in contact solution and do the thing? Like honestly, I'm very lucky. I don't wear contact lenses. But I see people like it's a messy business changing out your contact lenses or like getting something in your eye and you're like, fuck,
exactly.
I need to like step away for 15 minutes and do the thing where I make a puddle in my hand. And it's like, I know that life. I've never lived that life, but I live in the world. Yeah, that life is hard.
It is hard. And I only learned how to do it last year. It was part of my New Year's resolution. So, like, I wanted to stop wearing glasses and be able to see with contact lenses. So I made an appointment at the optometrist. They, like, taught me how to do it. But it's still a learning curve. And still sometimes putting them in is easy, but taking them out is very difficult. And I just don't know how you do it without a mirror.
Yeah.
So they bust out the mirror for them. Like, I just don't, there's so much sand everywhere. I just am very curious about that aspect.
Yeah. I'm curious too about the people who like don't wear glasses 70% of the time. And then at Tribal, they're wearing glasses. Like, I wear glasses at work. I wear reading glasses when I'm like staring at a monitor for 8 hours a day. I'm not wearing them right now because I can see everything fine. It's just when I'm looking at a monitor 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 5 days straight, that's not great. I can't, my vision starts to go a little bit. So I wear reading glasses at work when I'm looking at a monitor all day. Doing a podcast now for an hour, I don't need my reading glasses. I don't need my glasses right now. And I don't need them anywhere else in my life. But like, why are you fine? And then why do you suddenly need them at Tribal? You're not reading, you're writing Q, one letter.
it popped up. I would love answers. No, I don't know if we're ever going to get them. But
no. A number of former survivors are pretty active on TikTok and talk about the intricacies of like just like little stuff like that.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of like the most relevant cast member this season, yet another shout out this episode, Jelinski.
Jelinski.
Like they can't go an episode without talking about him. This man has left his mark on Survivor. I think they said that it's not returner, or is it returners next season for Survivor?
No, 50. So we're 50. On 46, or we still have 47, 40. So we still have three more seasons of newbies.
So that's like a year and a half, but they're going to bring Jelinski back. At least maybe he'll host a competition or something. I don't know. Well, I think that's all I have to say about Survivor.
I am looking at the etymology of several. Middle English from Anglo-French, from medieval Latin, separalis from
this
Latin
is good to
separ,
bring to the
meaning
rent
separate. Okay. Yeah. So it's not connected to sept, to like the sept, you know, prefix. Sept meaning, you know, septuplet. Seven.
Yeah.
Septoral. That would be seven.
Septum piercing.
Ooh. what else we got? Okay. Venus is voted out. I know for a fact that they specifically, a producer or Jeff, takes the bucket and reorders the bucket in a way that the...
Well, of course.
There's the most drama in the reading of the things. Do you think it was specific that they saved Q's for the deciding vote. And Q, who spelled Venus's name, V-E-N-I-S-E.
Venison.
Venice.
Like, just like he sold it the French
just
way.
Just stabbing you, just like letting you really know, hey, you lost to Q, who spelled your name wrong in like 8 different ways. And there's only 5 letters in your name.
Yes. I think it was on purpose.
Yeah, that was cruel.
Venice. Like Denise. That's actually a beautiful name. There, it's an idea. Anyone out there, any expecting Hey Julie listeners, Venice. It's a great like inside joke for all the fellow Survivor heads out there.
Yeah. You can name your child Danielle Venice.
That's it, right?
Survivor? That's it. Well, were there any questions on that?
No, we do have a question about Big Brother Canada.
Oh, fantastic.
Should we do that? Well, we should talk about the fact that, like, yeah, news in the Big Brother world. Big Brother's coming back.
July 17th, right? Something like
which
that?
Which is really far away. Yeah, July 17th.
Yeah, it's not. 16th, it's not. 17th. It's not the end of June, but yeah, it's a 7/17/7/18. Okay. 2-night premiere. Unclear if that's live move-in. Unclear if that's live or like night one feeds or whatever.
Yeah.
Seems like if they're doing something back-to-back that maybe it's not live move-in and it's not back night that's one fine. Feeds. Like maybe night two feeds. Like that's fine. The live move-in kind of sucks. Like everyone walks in, they do a pre-taped thing with them and they're like, wow, yeah. I'm so excited to be in the Big Brother house. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure you are. It's a huge moment and it's very unnatural thing. Not many people do that.
I'm a fan of live in general. I think more live the better just because it is ripe with the possibility of something interesting happening. But yeah, I'm fine if they don't do that. Like, whatever. But
what about?
They also. What?
Frenchie, why don't you roll that dice just to see? Just to see. We got 8 minutes to kill.
Exactly. Well, we wouldn't have that moment if we weren't live. They also released, I think this was an official image of like the logo, and it's very sleek this year. Or is this like an AI created?
I don't know. It looked weak. Like it looked somewhere on the borderline between real and fake. It looked definitely AI thing. It also looked very like CrossFit gym.
Yes.
Pilled. It was giving locked CrossFit gym. It was like BB26, but it was like silver and there was like some chain.
Like a bank heist.
Yeah. I don't know. Big Brother usually goes for a beachier sort of summer vibe. Camp. I don't know if this was real. I don't know if it was real. Like it wasn't from. It was like a former house guest posted it. Like it wasn't from an official account.
No.
Which makes me think one of them just went to like Google Gemini and was like, make me a BB26 logo.
Yeah, probably.
And AI was like, for that porn gym.
Well, in some ways that is what Big Brother is. Okay. Well, I'm excited, even though it feels really far away. I'm very excited for Big Brother to return. And we did get a question about Big Brother Canada in the Discord from Spicy Marco. With what little information you have, what do you have to say about BB Can 12 and our first female winner since BB Can 6? I want to say a huge congrats. Huge. This is huge for the Big Brother Can community.
I say good for
finally.
Her. Great. I'm so happy.
Congrats.
Whatever.
We are good. So happy.
I'm sad that I'm not going to see any more clips of Big Brother Canada in our Discord. That was good. There, we did get a clip of former podcast guest Kevin Jacobs. Is he the Dr. He's Will like of Canada?
Yeah,
he's like he's doing a Dr. Will thing, and he's a host in the after show.
I
Spicy B making it all about her in the jury special, the pre-jury. It seemed like it was a kind of the thing where the jury discusses with a host before they go into the actual final night. You know,
I think it's huge.
Congratulations.
It's huge.
Can you feel, Can you feel it in Canada?
The electricity is in the air.
The solar flare lit up the sky in celebration. All of Canada was ablaze in beautiful purple and green lights.
Yeah.
From thanks to Big Brother assigning a winner, whose name I'm going to learn in a moment when I finish typing in jokersupdates.com. Congratulations to Bailey.
Bailey, yes.
Yep. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. 6-1. Elijah, who I, you know, just from watching the clip, I wasn't Elijah guy. Man, he...
he was on the wrong side of the world.
Very
good. And that's why we love him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the update for Big Brother. Thank you for that question. I think that's the only question we
had. I should title the fucking podcast like Big Brother Canada recap, finale recap, so people will listen to it.
I need to give my review of Challengers.
We're done with reality shows. Danielle saw the sexy tennis movie.
And I just feel like Brett really undersold it.
I don't want to spoil.
This movie was everything I thought the idea of you was going to be. This movie is like, finally, truly, I was watching it, I was like, you know what? We are so back. Cinema is back.
Oh, yeah.
Hot people are back. Sweating is back. Finally, a filmmaker with taste. Everything had taste. I have not seen Call Me By Your Name. I have seen Suspiria and I Am Love. And so I know that he's into like beautiful things, but he just pushed it. Luca pushed it to the limit in this movie. And I'm so impressed by Zendaya. Zendaya, that character, Tashi Duncan. So
Donaldson. I forget we,
huh? Oh yeah. Sorry. Nay Duncan though. Did we give like a brief plot breakdown last week? I think we did. Basically,
they're tennis players and they're hot.
Yeah, they're tennis players. They're hot. She loves him. He loves her. She loves tennis. The boys love her and they love each other. I loved it. I thought she was truly like a new star character. And she's got a great name, Tashi Duncan. It's not Donaldson. It's Duncan.
Oh, okay.
Well, her married name is Donaldson. I thought Feist, I was like, wait a minute. This guy is cute. He's so cute. I thought he was great. Loved Josh O'Connor. Their acting was amazing.
He was the star of the picture.
I love a movie when I'm like, wait, what's going to happen next? Where could we go with this? And that's what felt like it was happening. I loved that Tashi Duncan was like, I don't care about my husband. I don't care about my kid. You know what I care about? Watching good tennis and getting laid. And yeah. I just love that. Was like, that's what we wanted from the idea of you. Someone, a mother... who is beautiful, who is stylish, who wears cashmere, and who just does what she wants and doesn't feel guilty about it. Whereas the idea of you, it's 100% guilt all the time. It's like, I don't want to watch that. Why do I want to see that?
That crying chair is for, yeah.
Exactly. So I just wanted to give a huge round of applause to that movie for really kicking off the summer season, right? I felt. I will be seeing it again. I might even buy it. I thought it was great. And also, it is so fun to see in the theaters. Brett was right. The music is great. It's just fun, the music. And it's very unexpected. It hits you at times where you're like, oh, I guess, okay, something's got to happen now.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know, you're watching a normal scene and then suddenly it's like the music's turning up. You're like, there is about to be a tennis match of the mind, of the body, or of the heart right now.
Exactly.
And I can't tell which one, but they're all... the same.
And they're all beautiful. And I said this to Brett, but I'll say it to the group, to the group podcast. Chat. I really am very impressed by Zendaya as a producer because she put this movie together. You know, I think that's a talent. I think she's a force to be reckoned with because she was also great in the movie. And it's these Euphoria girlies. Sydney Sweeney was a producer on Anyone But You, which is also a great, like not as good as Challengers, but like a great fun summer flick. You got to hand it up for these girls making moves in Hollywood, doing their thing.
I mentioned this a few weeks ago and there was this news story about like in 6 months, they're going to think about asking the cast of Euphoria to come back in 2025 to film for 47 weeks, 6 episodes. I rewatched the first three episodes of Euphoria the other day with a friend who had never seen it before. And first of all, that show is fantastic. They are not coming back with another episode of that show.
No.
Everyone is so good on the show. And like, you have Zendaya. She's a star. Yeah. She's a star. Yeah, right? She's a star. Sydney Sweeney's a star. Jacob Elordi, he's not producing stuff. He will be soon when he has more money. Like, not to mention you have people further down on the cast who are doing fine. The evil dad, he's a bad guy in some movie coming out soon. I just saw him in the trailer for Planet of the Apes.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever the big action movie's coming out.
Twisters.
Right now or whatever. Like, oh yeah, man, maybe. He plays the Twister. So yeah, that show is great. And like, yeah, Zendaya is amazing. And it's weird to think too, like, with Zendaya, she actually hasn't really starred in many movies. Maybe I'm wrong, but she kind of hangs out in Dune.
Right.
Like, she's really good in Dune 2. She's barely in Dune 1. And Dune 2 is not... There's like eight people's movie before it's her movie, really.
I haven't seen it, but yeah.
Like,
I'm sure. I believe you.
Yeah, like... Yeah, it's like she's kind of like... She's a big part of it, but it's a Timmy Wonka movie.
Right.
It's a Jessica Ferguson movie. Getting her confused.
In the movie?
Oh, no, yeah. She's Lady Jessica in the movie.
Queen of the show, Jessica Chastain.
You know? It's a bunch of other people's movies. Like, you know, yeah. Good for Zendaya. What would have really been interesting is this movie was supposed to come out in, like, November. Mm-hmm. Would Zendaya be in the Oscar?
I think she should still be nominated. I think all three of them should. Honestly, I thought all three of them were great. It really actually felt like a play to me in that there was just so much behind every line, but it was the best part of a filmed play in that it wasn't all set in one freaking room. There was a lot of beautiful things to look at. There were a lot of different sets,
butts,
locations, buns.
buns, sausages, sweat glands.
To this point, because I was worried when Brett was like, oh, it's pretty sexless. I was like, what? another flop. But
no, I said it was sexy while being sexless. Like, there's not much visual penetration.
Which is not what I need.
Sorry.
That's not what I'm looking
for. I know, exactly. Like, yeah. It's a sexy movie, but it's like, there's not scenes where people have sex in the movie.
Yeah, it's like they get pretty close, but then, you know, something happens.
Yeah.
But it's just enough. And that's really what I want. And that's all that I think anyone really needs. I think people are confused when we say we want sex in films. It's not like, yeah, we don't need no one's saying they want hardcore porn. What people want is just like the feeling that these people want to do it. They have to want to do it with each other. What's missing in modern cinema. And this...
Everyone wants to do it in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the best part.
The line judge. She wants...
They all want in.
Who has more of an administrative role later in life. She wants to do it.
Yeah, it was great. It was so fab. Which kind of ties me in... I know I just talked about something I watched, but I'm gonna... It does tie into like another thing I started watching, which is Boogie Nights. I've seen Boogie Nights several times. This isn't my first time seeing it. And I love Boogie Nights. But I haven't seen it in a while. So I started it last night. And I was like, this movie, I wonder what the reaction would be if this movie came out today. Because it's so good. And the way they treat the sex in the movie is brilliant. Because like, yes, you see a lot. Obviously, it's a movie about porn.
There's quite a lot of sex in this movie.
But it's like Marky Mark for every woman. At least, I didn't watch the whole thing. but... At least in
How could you not sit through the entire movie?
Pardon?
Like once that movie is on, you just drop me in at any point and I'm watching and it's 2.5 hours. It's long.
But Marky Mark, his character at the very beginning, every woman he's with, he's like, is this okay? Like, it's so sweet. He's like, are you okay with that? And it's the way the movie like gives all the female characters agency. Everyone gets their own little story. Even like the smaller characters get their own beautiful little, interesting little story. It's just like this fucking kid, PTA. He was what, 25 when he did this movie? Fuck him.
Yeah, like 27 or something like that.
So good. It's so good. It's a great movie, but yeah, it's the, again, the same thing of like, it's sexy, there's sex, but it's not, it doesn't make you, it's not like, the reason I think there was such a backlash is it got to a place, a lot of on-screen mainstream sex things got to a place where it did feel like, this is probably like a little bit misogynistic the way we're doing this, or, you know, yeah, like from a male gaze, blah, blah, blah. And I just don't feel that in this movie, in either of these movies.
Boogie Night, what movie are we talking either about?
Either Challengers
right now,
or Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, also in Boogie Nights, the interesting thing is like sex, like this is, sex is their job.
Yeah.
And it's like, it shows like the mundanity.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's such a funny movie until it's very serious.
I know, the movie is quite literally hilarious up until December 31st, 1979.
Also, it's so fun.
Right as the clock strikes zero, something happens.
And like, and that's exactly what we got to. That's when I was like, you know what? Time for bed. Let's go to bed thinking this is just a funny, fun movie. The end. And it's also so funny. Every movie.
The scene after that, I think, is also the mockumentary that they make.
Okay.
That Julianne Moore's character makes. Like, there's a shocking moment at the stroke of midnight. In 1980. And then I think it cuts to the Julianne Moore's like documentary about Dirk Diggler, where you have the great scene with John C. Reilly, where he's like, I'll fuck on my own time. I'm a magician.
He's like, so good in it.
I have other hobbies.
Everyone who's in it is like career best performance, but like it really makes you a little sad too, because like Philip Seymour Hoffman enters. And this, and his entrance, Philip, every entrance he has in a movie, you're like, okay, now the movie's really getting started. Like, oh, it was good before, but now you know this movie is off to the races. It's so good.
He like stumbles in through the gate.
He's wearing his little there's that top. Like,
oh my God, doesn't fit. Oh God, there's that vignette effect when he sees Mark Wahlberg for the first time. Yeah,
you gotta give it up for Marky Mark. He's great in this movie too. He's really great.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is great in this movie. And he doesn't get that much. He's like a relatively minor character in this movie, but he's in a lot of the scenes, just like kind of just like doing nothing. Yeah. He does so much work in this movie, just like standing in the background and looking incredibly nervous.
There's
for
a
his
part,
friends.
Like, it's not the focus of the scene. It's in the background where he keeps trying to shake Marky Mark's hand, and Marky Mark keeps like shaking other people's hands. Not purposely snubbing him, but you can tell Philip Seymour Hoffman just keeps trying to like touch him, and he's just, Marky Mark is oblivious, and it's so good. Oh, it's so good. All right, so that's pretty much it.
Please, if you want to watch a good film, we cannot recommend Boogie Nights enough.
So fun.
Literally my favorite movie ever made.
So fun. Let's talk about something Brett watched. Because I've been...
Let's talk about Everybody's in L.A. Let's close out with that. Unless there's anything else. I will only watch the first episode. Is Late Night back?
The answer, Danielle, is no. I watched the first episode and I thought, this is sloppy. This is awkward. This is not that funny. Sorry. I didn't think the packages were that good. I think this really is a show for people who just love LA and live in LA. Sorry.
You know, as you say this, you're right. Like, I wasn't crazy about the packages. Seinfeld is also a combative guest,
which I actually don't mind. Especially because it did feel very live. But I just, there was, I don't know, like coyotes, seeing the house. It's like,
you know, maybe I'm being overly, looking at it with overly rose-shaded glasses about the fact that I think the monologue, like the opening monologue about Los Angeles was...
Yeah, that was good.
A+. Some of the other like pre-written bits, like the bit with the robot delivery person, cart thing was good. But yeah, the rest of it was a bit rough. I don't know specifically how real the call-ins were. There was an aspect of realness to them because they were all bad. They were all bad. And Seinfeld was like, what are we like? Is it possible for anyone to tell a story quickly? Like, explain anything without the most boring and useless like pretext and like.
But my other thing is that's kind of on John Mulaney.
I thought that was good making fun of it. Yeah.
That's John Mulaney's job is to like move things along, ask the right questions. So I was like, they were just letting them talk. That was on them. That was their fault.
I mean, don't bring on normal people to talk about something that happened to them. Most people are completely inadequate at telling a story in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
That's why they're at home and John Mulaney's in the pictures.
Making money from Netflix to do his little show. I really like John Mulaney. I think he's good. I don't have a intense relationship with him the way some people do. I think he's fine. So it wasn't for me. There's nothing about it that makes me want to watch a second episode, but like, good for him. Glad he's having fun.
Listen, I was watching it like in bed as I was falling asleep. Yeah. My intellectual guard was down.
You loved it.
So I thought it was great. I was like, oh, this is entertaining. Yeah. This is entertaining for me to have one eye open too. I think I'll watch more of it, but like at a certain point, it will be like August. And I'm like, oh, I'm still only three episodes in on this live talk show that was filmed in May.
Yeah, they said they're only making like 6 or 8 episodes, whatever, of it.
Yeah. So.
One last thing I did watch on Netflix, since we're on the topic of Netflix, was the first episode of this show starring Jeff Daniels called A Man in Full. And as I was watching, I was like, why the hell am I watching this? But it was directed by Regina King, who I do love and support. But it's like, I've never seen such a show. You know, they say Seinfeld's a show about nothing. A Man in Full is truly about nothing. It's like this Southern rich guy who took out a loan. And the loan is backfiring. Like, that's the best description I can give. I was baffled at myself for watching this show. It's a big pass. Don't watch it. Do not watch the show. You're going to be so bored.
We don't have to make a 8-episode series about every book that's ever come
out. Exactly. It's a Tom Wolfe book.
We don't.
And it's...
Oh, Tom Wolfe's pretty good.
Well, it's not good. The show is bad.
Not a good one. It's not a good one.
I don't know. I didn't read the book, but
he's like, you're like, oh, you said Tom Wolfe? You say, okay. Maybe I should just read the book.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, you know, keep giving Regina... I think she did what she could with the script. The script is bad. It's David E. Kelly. That was the other thing. I was like, David E. Kelly is kooky. He can, like, write a fun script every once in a while, but no.
Is Nicole Kidman in it?
No. Diane Lane is in it.
Yeah, what are we doing?
And Lucy Liu.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
They all play like Southerners with like the most intense Southern accents.
Oh my God. Yeah. Grow up.
That's it. That's pretty much what I watched this week.
Great. Well, it's time for me to drink some mead.
Yeah. At the Ren Fair.
And get locked up in the stock and quarters, you know, whatever it's called, thing where they put you in jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's stock and barrel.
Stock it. No, that's
lock stocks. Who's smoking barrels?
Stocks. No, okay, that's different.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next week.
Apologize if you were watching on YouTube and we had to end it 20 minutes early, but you're getting this part, like 17, 18 minutes was fantastic, I would say. Maybe we'll figure that stuff out. 2 more weeks of Survivor. We'll be back after someone else goes home.
See you next time. Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.